Questions for Chris. Tom?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chris, getting back to Georges Bank Yellowtail, I guess I'm sort of confused by the recommendation from the SSC regarding changes in the ABC, depending on whether you're in a, quote, bycatch-only fishery as opposed to having some directed fishery. My understanding of ABC is that it's based on catch, landings, and discards included, and that number shouldn't be, or I don't understand why that number would change so dramatically if you, with the recommendation that you're making. I mean, basically that ABC, as I understand it, should account for all the fishing mortality. It should be the highest number. Whether underneath that you make one management decision relative to another, basically swapping one source of fishing mortality for another, why would that change the ABC at all? From a purely scientific standpoint, I don't think those fish know.
Okay. It's a very good question. I think you need to step back and look at the basis for the numbers. The first two sets of numbers, the 200 and 400 and 500, are based on the assessment results and saying that those fully capture the range of uncertainty associated with this stock assessment. This last number is simply, as I said, a backstop number. That is, the value itself is a rollover from the previous year, and what it's trying to reflect is that if there is in fact more uncertainty in the assessment than what is captured by the sensitivity runs, then if you have a fishery where there's no incentive to catch the fish and measures are taken to avoid catching the fish, you would expect very low catches. And so the expectation would be to have low catches. If the sensitivity analyses were insufficient in capturing the range of possibilities for the stock abundance, then it's possible that even under a very low F, you could have greater than those catch levels of 200 or 400, 500. So to answer your question, you're correct that the ABC does in fact account for both landings and discards.
Tom?
Yeah, I guess I'm just unfamiliar with the approach of having a backstop ABC. I mean, I thought the ABC was a point estimate based on the science, the best science that we had in hand. So I guess I'm just with the concept of a backstop ABC dependent on how that mortality was you know, experienced in the fishery. If, say, take a different stock and set an ABC and then say, well, we're not actually going to allocate anything to the commercial side, be recreational. Expect the ABC number to change? I mean, I would effectively think that the ABC number would be immune to how you that fish. The number is the number. I guess I'm just not familiar with the approach of setting a backstop ABC, particularly when it's substantially higher than the other.
You're correct that the ABC for all the other stocks that we're recommending to how those fish are allocated between landings and discards. This one is set differently because there was concern that the uncertainty in the assessment might be greater than what we have accounted for when setting the other ABCs. And so, again, that 1150 is not a target. All it is it's saying that if everything is done to reduce catches, we expect low catch. If somehow larger catches are taken, then there's evidence that there's more uncertainty in the models than we had expected based on the sensitivities.
David Pierce.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Regarding the Southern New England
mid-Atlantic yellowtail flounder. And the figure that was shown earlier this morning by Dr. Weinberg, where we see two different possibilities for biomass targets, the two stanza and recent recruitment. Your presentation, the SSC has indicated that we should be going, we should be supporting the recent recruitment biomass target. So that means that with Southern New England Mid-Atlantic flounder, with that recommendation from the SSC, we are not overfished, and we're not overfishing either. And yet, the recommendation is for a bycatch only. A fathom this. How does this get? I'm sorry, that's George's Bank. I'm sorry. That's George's Bank. So it's an interesting situation in terms of our having to describe to the industry, to explain to the industry how we can have those conditions, not overfished, overfishing is not occurring, and yet the ACL that will come out of this is extremely low. Did the SSC offer any perspective regarding this particular situation and how it can be, you know, how we can reconcile not overfished, overfishing not occurring, yet the need to have low ACLs?
The low ACLs are because the stock size is low. And so if you compare the projections, the assessment is fixed, and so you can look at 75% FMSY is essentially the same for the two biomass reference points. And so it's the low ACLs, which are in fact an increase from what current catches are, but I recognize they're low relative to historical catches, are simply a reflection that the stock size is low. The new biomass reference point simply says that we don't expect the stock to increase substantially from where it is unless recruitment was to increase substantially from what we've observed in the last 20 years.
Okay, thank you. I'm pleased with the recommendation from the SSC that we don't go with a biomass target with the two stands. If that was the case, then we would be in a real perilous situation relative to where we are and where we need to be. We'd have to shut the fishery down, I assume. So it's a wise and much appreciated recommendation from the SSC. My last question is on the Cape Cod Gulf of Maine yellowtail flounder. You indicated that there is a new retrospective pattern not present in the GARM 3 assessment. You may have mentioned it and I missed it. Was there any discussion as to what might have caused that retrospective pattern? And did the SSC have any recommendation regarding perhaps increasing the natural mortality rate assumption to maybe get rid of the retrospective pattern? I keep focusing on natural mortality now. That seems to be the magic, that seems to be the bullet to use to shoot down the retrospective pattern. So any discussion regarding that?
During the SSC meeting, during the stock, the groundfish update, there were alternative sensitivity analyses conducted, one of which increased the natural mortality rate, another of which increased natural mortality rate in recent years, another of which increased catch in recent years. Again, both of these to address the retrospective pattern. When those sensitivity analyses were followed all the way through, it was found that the catch advice that resulted was quite similar to the retrospective adjustment catch advice. And so this convergence of advice from different approaches used to address the retrospective pattern was cited as a reason to support using the retrospective adjustment for providing catch advice within the groundfish update.
Anyone else on the council? George.
Thank you. It's my understanding that the SSC didn't establish an OFL, an overfishing level, for George's Bank yellowtail. Is that correct? And if so, can you explain why not?
The SSC spent a long time addressing the term of reference, requesting a range of ABCs for George's Yellowtail, and it was simply to not set an OFL during the meeting. We realized this afterwards when we were trying to finalize our report and came to the conclusion that we could not put forward an OFL other than one that was simply said it would have to be, since ABC has to be less than or equal to OFL, then you would have to take the largest of the three ABCs and set that equal to the OFL or some higher value. However, we could not find any scientific basis to do that, and so instead just chose not to provide an OFL given the unusual nature of this term of reference asking for a range of ABC.
Dave Gatham.
Yeah, looking at table one, and I got to confess that even with my glasses, I can't really see the numbers all that well, but it appears to me that most of the OFLs are constant through the period. And yet, supposedly, fish stocks are supposed to be rebuilding. Why aren't the OFLs rising as fish stocks rebuild?
Let me see. For the index-based assessment, that has just been our standard approach, is to fix the OFL and ABC for the 3 years because of the uncertainty associated with doing any projections off of the index-based assessment. So that's the two window pane and the ocean pout. I'm trying to find other ones. It looks like the other cases are where the ABC was held constant going forward in time, and those OFLs, I believe, should be increasing, and they do, for Cape Cod Gulf of Maine yellowtail flounder, where the ABC is held constant at 548, but the OFL increasing from 2013 through 2015.
Okay, so then it's a matter of what kind of assessment it is. If it's index based, it's constant. If it's an actual analytical assessment, it changes. That's the okay. Thank you.
Anyone else on the council? I go to the audience. Drew, then Ron.
Hi, Drew Minkiewicz, Fishery Survival Fund. Obviously, from the scalper's perspective, we've been following and tracking the yellowtail stock assessments very closely, and particularly the Georges Bank yellowtail assessment. As we made very clear in our letter about 2 months ago, we were very concerned about the process surrounding the yellowtail assessment and the results that we're getting from it. Simple fact is, despite the very good work of the Chris sitting next to me here, the assessment has serious issues. There was benchmark assessment in 2005. You had the single series VPA that almost immediately started showing a strong retrospective pattern. So to try and correct that, split series VPA was developed to try and correct for the retrospective pattern. Then that quickly started showing an increase in a retrospective pattern to the point now that at the latest track meeting, it was declared that because of the strong retrospective pattern, the split series VPA was not suitable to provide catch advice. Then to Chris's credit and to the team's credit, they tried to make do with what they had and came up with this new system of mechanistically changing the catch rates and the natural mortality rates to try and somehow account for the retrospective pattern, not knowing what was really causing it, which led to the absurd results of 5 times the catch rate and 4 times mortality, somewhere in that range, to actually mask the retrospective pattern. None of those results is actually believable. Now, they did converge towards an output that led some credibility to the advice, but the fact is, you're talking about doing a fix on top of a fix to try and get to some number that no one really believes, and no one knows how you actually got to the number or what's really causing it. This is not a suitable situation. And underlying all of this is there is no procedure in place for how we deal with assessments. There is no bar or test we apply to an assessment that says, okay, this one is good enough for catch advice. This meets a minimum standard. And on top of that, there is no protocol or understanding of what to do in the case of if you do reject an assessment, what do you do then? There should be default measures. You know, for instance, in Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder, we have 3 separate surveys and also catch recorded catch. We could default to those to try and set some sort of interim measures until we get an acceptable assessment in place. We need these procedures. As a council, you should be demanding these kinds of procedures, because what do we have in the interim? What do we have now? What is status quo? You have an assessment that's put forward because no one really knew what to do with it if we did reject it. Then you have the SSC looking at it and going, well, it's good enough to shut down directed fishing for it, but it's not good enough to shut down other fisheries based upon it. And then you get results of, well, you should look at an ABC of between 200 to 1150 metric tons, but maybe not have directed fishing. But, oh, by the way, we don't have any scientific justification to even set an OFL off of it. This is not a good system. And then on the same, while that's all going on within our domestic process, this being a shared stock, we have NIMS scientists going to Canada and saying, well, we can't possibly go over 500 metric tons. We really want to be at 200 metric tons because that's what the assessment says, despite the fact that our own domestic body said you can go up to 1150 with a bycatch-only fishery. This isn't lining up. This isn't providing a coherent management strategy. This is failing. We need better. This is an important stock. And on top of that, where's the urgency to fix this? There's no plan in place to fix this. And with all due respect, I appreciate the fact that a workshop has been planned, but the workshop is too far in the future to actually have any effect on 2013. And let's be honest, are we really one workshop away from figuring all this out? Is one more workshop going to get this done? We've been to plenty of workshops, haven't we? We don't want to go to another workshop. We need a plan in place to address this issue. And until this issue is addressed, we need a plan on how we deal with a flawed assessment like we have right now. People have made great efforts to make this assessment work, but it's broken. The toy is broken. Put the duct tape down, walk away, it's broken. We need to do something else. So there's just systematic flaws here that are leading to these absolutely absurd results. And we need to be talking about how do we correct that. We can't keep going forward under the status quo system the way it is. It's not acceptable. There's too much riding on this. Thank you.
Ron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smolowitz, Fishery Survival Fund. More on the duct tape approach now. I mean, Drew's points are 100% correct. And that's the big picture. So I'm looking at this advice now and trying to figure out how 2013 works. What I know about yellowtail out there is that they move around and they're in dense concentrations. I don't know the overall quantity, which is the big issue and that Drew and everybody else is concerned about. But I know where the catch of yellowtail occurs in the scallop fishery. And looking at Tom's data from the Observer program, I think similar plots could be made for the open areas based on Observer data. So the second part of the backstop measure, reduce bycatch as much as possible. Now, we had a bycatch survey out there in late June, but we had high yellowtail bycatch southwest of closed area 2. And the observer program confirms that. I went out there the second week of August to test some bycatch reduction gear. There was no yellowtail there. They were all up on the bank at that time. Taking the observer data and the data from the bycatch survey, we could identify where the yellowtail are and where they're moving. So we could put in seasonal restrictions in both fisheries based on that data to greatly reduce the bycatch. I think, though, that you don't have to have a rule that says no directed fishery. You could give out the ace to the groundfish fleet like you would, but now without, and of course there's gear measures, you know, that we're not even talking about, but just the seasonal bycatch rates. If we have seasonal closures where high bycatch occurs and you give the fleets their allocations, chances are they're not going to get anywhere near those allocations. If they do, that probably is evidence that, in fact, we are underestimating the overall tail that's out there. So I think we're getting a path that we could proceed in 2013. We could also, my recommendation earlier of getting a real increased sampling of more stations out there using industry boats, we could have by midsummer sort of an additional assessment of what the yellowtail status is out there that could at least tell us whether in fact we overfished, even though we have no overfishing target at this point in time. But at least give us an idea whether the yellowtail populations are larger than we are currently thinking they are. So I really think we have some good advice here. And there's a path at least that we could start down for 2013. We don't have to quote unquote have a no possession fishery. We just need to close the areas on a seasonal basis for the two fisheries that the current information tells us we have very high bycatch rates. And I think that's something that we should really put on a fast track for analysis.
Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Mary Beth and then Matt.
Follow up a little bit on some of the comments from the public. I think that raising this issue of what do we do when we have a stock that really isn't functioning well. I mean, the SSC, I think the stock assessment scientists recognized they had issues when they were doing it. The SSC advice on you know, Georges Bank yellowtail. They're very uncomfortable using it for catch advice, and you know, this is not the first time this has come up. I don't know that we can really fully explore, you know, what is the right thing to do at this moment in our day, or even perhaps this week. But I think we do need to pursue it. Perhaps the Science Center or our SSC could offer us some range of thinking on where to go. I mean, should we default to an index based you know, assessment when you have, you know, these issues arrives, and do we need to define what would cause one to move in that direction? I'm not saying that's the right way to go. I'm just using that as a possible example. You know, look at the recent surveys. You know, what do we do with our data for stocks? Perhaps that's something we should look at and say, when an assessment just isn't working anymore, it defaults to however we treat data poor species, which I think some of them we use the index-based assessment. But I guess my point is I don't have the right answer, but I think if we could do some forward thinking and perhaps have some methodologies that we can turn to, it would help us. And I don't know if Chris had any thoughts on this or if people think it's an appropriate question for the SSC or the Science Center, but I hate for us just to sort of listen to and say, yeah, that's probably true, when we just move on and don't do anything.
Yeah, thank you. I think the SSC recognizes that the scientific process is very important. And so having these peer-reviewed processes in place to evaluate the results from assessments with people who are not don't have a dog in the fight, so to speak, are only there to evaluate the scientific quality of the assessment is really the way to go. And that's what the SSC would support, is continuing our process. And I think it does serve us well to have these, even though it's many meetings for the scientists and the people conducting the reviews, it allows full exploration of all the information. I've just conveyed a little under 20 stock assessments in a few minutes. Obviously, I had to gloss over some details to do so. When we have a week-long meeting to go into the details of one or two assessments, we can really, we meaning the scientific group as a whole, can explore what's going on in much more detail than is possible in a meeting such as this. And so I think relying on the scientific process to explore alternatives and to put forward advice that then the management body can use is the way to go. I think we can consider providing terms of reference to the groups to ask, what if you didn't believe the assessment, what advice would you give and why? Because, for example, with Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder, there are no positive signs associated with this stock. The area of the stock is covering is contracting. The age structure is reduced. We're not seeing anything that would lead us to believe that this stock is in good condition, but it gets glossed over when it's part of a very brief that detail can get lost in these sorts of meetings where you have to make decisions and rely on the scientists putting forward a version of all their discussions in a very short period of time.
Matt McKenzie. Anyone else on the council? Next species, please.
Thank you. My next presentation will be on the herring report.